Good to meet another family member that we're going to spend eternity with. Amen. So, all right, now, we've been speaking on the statue of a perfect man for, this is number 46 of a series that we're trying to get finished with, but I don't want to hurry too much because these things are required. Amen. Brother Branham said we must have these virtues. As we were speaking in Miami about speak the word, you got to be able to handle it before you can speak it. You got to be able to, that God can trust you with it. Even God Almighty himself in human flesh, when Jesus was on the River Jordan, the Spirit of the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." And say, "Hear ye him," at that time. There had to be 3.5 years of tutoring and training. You said, Jesus, yeah, Jesus the man, Jesus the body. Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge and was made perfect. Now, what was inside of him was perfect. He didn't make no mistakes as far as the inside person. Amen? All right? But I wouldn't say he made mistakes in the outside man because he was so consecrated to God, but he still lived the human life. They couldn't understand that that was God because he did actually act like a human. He had to eat. He cursed a tree because it didn't have fruit on it. He did a lot of things that were so human that they couldn't understand that he was Almighty God. Yeah, it's Joseph's son. They called him a wine bibber. He made his friends were whores and all kind of other, you know, low grade people. He didn't take much for Caiaphas and all that group. So they immediately turned him out, you know. So Jesus was a weird kind of guy to the world. And that's the way we should be. I was thinking yesterday, we were driving, I guess, over to the birthday party or somewhere, and I was just thinking about, because we're going to read this, because Brother Brown says, be therefore perfect. All right? And then you hear people say, well, you know, like Hank did, you know, Sister Susan, you know, Hank said, nobody's perfect. Well, see, that's a cop-out. We know in our human ability we're not perfect, all right? But now what God says about us is different than what man says about us. If God said, be therefore perfect, he's got to make a way for us to get perfect in his eyes. Because Jesus was never perfect in Caiaphas' eyes, or they'd have never hung him on the cross. You ever thought about that? If Jesus was who they thought he was supposed to be to them, they would have never hung him on the cross. But he was so different. He was so separate. What I was thinking about was being in the world but not of the world. You know, our men don't wear shorts. And you know, there's not a scripture for that. There's not a scripture for that. But it's what the world does. Right? The Bible says, flee the very appearance of evil. That was my comment. I was talking to Jacob the other day. We were talking about something. He was talking about, somebody said, well, it's, you know, there's really nothing that says not to drink alcohol, because in the Bible it tells you a little wine for the stomach's sake. You know, it never says don't drink alcohol. But, and the thought came to me, I said, Lord, I need to give him an answer, because I don't want to just say, well, it's okay, because it's not. But the scripture came to me was to flee the very appearance of evil. And that's just the appearance of evil, whether it's evil or not. Whether it's evil or not, if the world does it and if it's common for the world, we shouldn't do it. So see, that makes us different. Jesus was in the common part of the world. He was a common man. They didn't think much great of him. The people that were around him knew that he was did supernatural things, but not the established Christian world. So you and I are supposed to be different, but not be so... Brother Brown said being a Christian makes you weird. Just being a Christian makes you weird. To be a real Christian. Now, these people that are on the fence and on the borderline, you know, it's like I've always said, you know, the guy walks up, Satan walks up to a guy sitting on the fence, and he says, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm sitting on the fence. I don't know whether to be a Christian or you know, be a sinner, be a Christian, be a sinner. Satan said, "Well, who you think owns that fence you're sitting on?" So the devil owns the fence. So you need to get off of it. Flee the very appearance of evil. Get away from it. All right? That's the same way with all. We don't have scriptures for smoking and you know, common things that we don't do. Wearing shorts, like I said. There's no scripture that we can say, hey, this is not right. Now, we can with the sisters with the hair, and the men with the hair, and the sisters with the dress. We have scripture for that. All right? That sets us apart. But, you know, you see these people walking down the street, and like yesterday, we went to Sterling's graduation, and there's a lady there that, as far as I know, she's a fine lady. She took Josh's pictures for his graduation several years ago, and she's always had long hair. She's always had on a dress, but she had on earrings. There's something that, you know, you look at us as believers, and you see the whole package put together. But sometimes you'll go out and you'll go, oh, that sister's wearing a dress, and then you look up and her hair's cut straight across, you know, in the back, and you say, well, she's not a believer, or she's a make believer. Or then you look and you say, well, she's got long hair, and she's got dress, she's got earrings in. There's something about the world. They try, Pentecostal, they try to live close to the world, but try to do something a little bit different. But you and I must take these virtues, and these virtues will make you. That's what I was telling them in Miami. We wasted a lot of time on do's and don'ts. We wasted 50 years. Brother Branham gave us the do's and don'ts. The Bible gave us the do's and don'ts before Brother Branham came. He just magnified and made sure that we understood what the Bible was saying. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Oh. But it was supposed to be that way. Same way with Jesus. When Jesus was healing the sick, he had thousands. When he started saying, I and my Father are one, and preaching the gospel, that automatically separated him from the people he was with. Okay? Same way with Brother Branham. Oh, yeah, they couldn't. It's a man, vampire. Vampire. But you see, though, Brother Branham had the same ministry. He comes up, has a healing campaign, healing the sick, and doing all the miracles, and hundreds of thousands of people would show up in a weekly meeting. Then when he started preaching the word there in 63 and on through there, he was preaching to 40, 50 people. But he knew that. He knew Jesus was the same way. Jesus got down to where he had zero friends. Zero. Even the ones that were around him weren't his friends. At least Brother Adam still had a few friends that were around him when he died, but Jesus had nobody. He didn't have nobody to go to the cross with him, and they were all hiding and everything else. So, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost at that time to keep them. So these virtues are just going to make us different. Okay? They're going to make us act different. They're going to make us walk different. And it's going to make us weird. To the world, it's going to make us weird. Because we are not of the normal. We're not of the natural, we're of the supernatural. We're not of the flesh, we're of the spirit. Now, we still have to live in the flesh, okay? We still have to live in the flesh, do the things of the flesh, as far as living and you know, having income and doing things like that. We still have to do that. But you know what? That's not a surprise to God. He knew that before the foundation of the world. So he made a provision. He sent us a prophet in the end time to be able to break down the statue of a perfect man, put it in a pyramid form, put it to where we can put the virtues with our new birth and not get them confused. Because remember, power without character is satanic. That's what had been happening down through the ages. They had the power, but they didn't have the character to go with it. Now, watch Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther, I believe, was born again. Amen? Amen. Martin Luther was born, had the same new birth you have, right there at faith. But I don't believe he could go any further in the word because of what he could see, because he said all the Jews should be killed. Well, see, that's power without character. If he would have loosed that, see, honestly, that's the same thing got on Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was just able to produce it because Adolf Hitler didn't have God in his soul. Martin Luther had God in his soul, which made him stop. He thought all Jews should be killed, right? Martin Luther said that. All Jews should be taken out and exterminated. Well, guess what? That part, yeah, he did have it. That was not God that said that. That was the devil. Okay? So he had power, but he didn't have character. All right? So you come up to Adolf Hitler, he didn't have power or character. So he took what Luther said and produced it. All right, same thing's going to happen to me and you, though. If you're born again, now in the end time, when all the great mysteries are revealed, all the way back to the perfect way of God is here, then we are required to come up the statue of a perfect man. But we are given all those provisions to get there. I love the, if you read, I know you've already read Statue of Perfect Man, but the next night, that same day, Brother Branham preached that morning Statue of a Perfect Man, and then that night he preached The Guide of My Life, or A Guide. Read that. Because he breaks it right back to where that, what he was talking about Sunday morning was what was guiding him. He was talking about guiding, you know, it's kind of hard to, I've been hunting out west and didn't have a guide. I'll never go back without one because pretty much fruitless. I mean, you might get lucky and stumble over a deer or two, but that guide knows that mountain. He knows where those animals are. He lives with them. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what weather conditions. But you and me, we live out here, and then we go to a strange land, and we try to do it on our own. Well, that's our problem as Christians. We try to go somewhere and do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We must have a guide. And Jesus said, I'll come back, and I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. All right, so that's what he's doing with this statue of a perfect man. And we got up here to godliness, and we're all, I mean, we're up there pretty good ways. We went through faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. And for those of you that didn't hear what I said last Sunday, if you want to have patience, get a buddy pass from Benny and fly Delta standby. And miss six flights and have to spend a night in an airport and fly out at 5:30 the next morning. So, you know, that will give you some patience. Oh, Anna with an H. Hey, Anna. You got the baby? Got the baby? They're from Kenya. That's Brother Abraham. Yeah, that's from Haiti. They come to visit us today. This is the baby. Remember the baby I was telling you about, that the word was spoke over and they couldn't have a baby? That's it right there. That's the baby. So there's the manifestation right there. Amen? Okay. But you know what? It's because somebody knows how to handle the word. It's power with character. Power without character, you'll do anything. You'll say anything. God will check you on certain things, but you still don't have thus saith the Lord. You don't have thus saith the Lord unless you got these verses working in your life. Because you come up to Mount Transfiguration, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. He had come to a place to where if you're going to hear anything from God, you got to hear it from that person. Well, let's see, Brother Branham came to that, but now he's not the only one that comes to that. We've got to come to that, because the only way we're going to take a body change is we're going to have to speak it out of a revelation of our own faith. Not, I was telling them in Miami, amen, you cannot get a body change from a preacher. No. He's not going to speak and your body changed. No, Brother Branham said your body change comes from what your revelation, what you believe. Now, it does come through a pastor. It does come through an evangelist. That's the perfecting right here. But he's not going to speak to a congregation and their bodies change. No, that's not right. It's an individual affair with God. Somebody's going to come to a place by the word that they hear and the word that they take in that they're going to say, I am changed. I am fully redeemed. But now, if you don't have character, that power is not going to do you any good. But power with character, the prophet said, is fit to rule. Now, what are we ruling? This is the first thing we got to rule. Right here. All right. What happened to the video? What happened to it? I don't know, something gone crazy. The devil didn't like this because I had all my, you know, we've been doing patience and all that on the screen. I can't find them anywhere in my iPad, so I lost them in Miami somewhere, I guess. My voice and all that. So, but you know, we had a wonderful time down there. So, Had a good time. Still basking in the joy of meeting you brothers and sisters. Really good, solid brothers and sisters. So here we go. Fifthly, add godliness. Now, I know you probably can't see this in the back. Some of you older ones. But, Brother Joe. He's got his book. He's reading. Yeah, he's got his book. He's going to read it. But fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. So if God wants us to be godly, he's got to make a way for that to happen. All right. I looked in 4 or 5 dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's and he got a dictionary. It said godliness. Go back. Manually go back. Okay. Here we go. All right. Godliness means to be like God. Now, that's just pretty simple. But now, Brother Bram couldn't just stop there and say, oh, we just got to be like God. He's got to give us provisions. He's got to give us a provision for this journey. If you got a good guide don't take you 20 miles back in the woods and say, we don't have no food. There'd be one less guide in the camp if he did that to me. So anyway. Well, no, I don't know. I'm at patience now, I think. So I think I'd be patient one day with him until he got me some food. But see, the guide made a provision before you got there. If he's a good guide, he'll ask you, do you want coffee in the morning? You know, I've been on several hunts like that. You want coffee in the morning? What do you want for breakfast? What do you want for lunch? And he'll map it out. But you don't have to get it. He gets it for you. So he makes the provisions for you. The Holy Ghost makes the provision for you before you even start your journey. So let's just put it this way. We are living well below our privileges because the guide's already there. The guide's already waiting on us to get on the horse. He's already got the horse packed. The pack horse is ready to go. It's already got the provisions. It's just we got to say, let's go. All right? It says to be like God. After you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then to be like God. You say, I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. Now, there's a prophet prophesying. Yes, you can. All right? Let me just read you a few scriptures here just a minute. Matthew 5:48. We'll take this one and see what it sounds like. Matthew 5:48. See if you're supposed to be like God. You know, the Bible says you're God's. Okay? Jesus said so. See, to me, that's going back to Genesis 1:26. When they pick up the revelation and says ye are God's, you go right back to Genesis 1:26 because there you are, the God of the earth. Remember the little g, not the big g, but the little g. All right? All the virtues, all the things that's in God is in you. Now, you do believe that? It's the same Holy Ghost. Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes. Be ye therefore, P-E-R-F-E-C-T. What's that? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Like we were talking about Miami, we've done a series here on the Masterpiece Family. Daddy has also. If you have the genetics of your father, you're going to act like your father. So he has got that provision, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you got to be perfect just like he's perfect. All right? You get way up here now before you're asked to do that. You see? God's got these virtues laid out. He knows you got to have this one and this one and this one and this one before you come to godliness. All right? Because if you have godly patience, temperance, and knowledge and virtue working in your life, you're getting close to being like God the way he wants you to be. Okay? You get way up here now before you're asked to do that. All these things has to be added first. Remember what we were talking about. You can't say, well, I got virtue and now I'm going to try for patience. No, the guide didn't say that. The guide said virtue, then knowledge, then temperance, then patience, then godliness. Okay? Then you get up here, he's asked you now to be perfect, godliness, sons and daughters of God. That's right. How many things I could say along that line? Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Find out over here what in the book of Ephesians it says about this thing too, about how we should do. Ephesians 4, he goes to 4 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Remember last night, don't try to take the other man's office. And some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For the perfecting of God, he says. No, God don't need perfecting. He's already perfect. Does it read like that? Congregation says no. The perfection of what? Saints. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. So we're already sanctified. You're already sealed in with God. You know, and for our ones that haven't been here, in this church we believe you get the Holy Ghost at faith. Not up there at the top. That's a refilling. That's more of the Holy Ghost. But faith is where you, if you don't have Holy Ghost, you don't know what God's going to give you. Amen? You've got to have godly virtue. Well, to have godly virtue, you've got to have God in you, because it says right here, perfecting of what? Sinners? It don't say sinners. It says perfecting of the saints. Let me explain it this way, just like I was telling them in Miami, and I've told you before, but let me tell you again. When you're born again, you get all the medication you need for your sickness. Remember I was talking about the pill? You get a pill from the doctor. You get a capsule. The doctor says, this pill will take care of everything in your body. And you go home and you tell all your neighbors and say, oh, this pill will take care of everything. It's everything I need. And you lay it on the kitchen counter and you leave it there. You're going to die, be sick and die. But the cure is laying right there. But it's encapsulated or it's bound by what's on the outside. The plastic or the what you call it, the gelatin. It's gelatin around the outside, right? Our sister's a nurse. You ought to know that. Gelatin around here. But inside's what's going to do you good. But if you take that, believe what's going to help you, put it in your mouth, it'll dissolve, and what's on the inside is going to perfect you. Same thing with the gospel. You're born again at faith. You've got the new birth. You've got all these virtues potentially to work in your life. And if you die, if you get born again today and die tomorrow, you're eternal. Amen? If you're born again, now not justified, not sanctified, but I'm talking about born again. The old nature burnt out, God's nature put in you, and it's you and God in there as persons. Amen? That's the new birth. It's not just a hope so or a wish so. You're just as eternal as God is. But we're still alive. The ones that are alive and have been born again for years, months, days, whatever, God's requiring that we add to our stature, not statue, stature, all right, which is height, our growth development. So God has given you all the provisions. The guide has got everything ready, but you've got to say, hey, let's go. I want to go hunting. Because he's going to ask you, he said, you ready to go? That's what they tell me. They'll come in at 5 o'clock in the morning, they'll go, you ready to go? You know what? I got to go. I got to unlock that door, and I got to get my clothes on, and I got to go. But he's got all the provisions for the journey already on the horse or already in the truck or in the four-wheeler or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Using natural illustrations here. But that's what God has given us with the new birth. He's given us everything we need. But we got to get up and go and say, hey, God, I want to have the perfecting of the saints. That's what I want. I want that to happen in my life. I'm not satisfied with just being born again. Because there's more, and there should be a pull or a longing inside. You know, babies are born babies, and they're wonderful. And you know, little Eli and my grandbaby, 6 years old, they're just wonderful. But you retard them if you keep them at that age 5 years from now. If he's still that age, you've done something wrong. No, you feed him. And he grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. You want him to be an adult. Sometimes I'd love for Deanna to be 6 years old and not change. But see, I know that's hindering her, not me. It's hindering her. And it's me as a terrible sight as a grandfather or a father to want them to be that way, stay that way. You want them to grow up. You want them to get a job and get out of the house. Amen. Hallelujah. And just come back and visit. Not an extended stay motel. For the perfecting of God, no. For the perfecting of sinners, no. But for the perfecting of the saints. The sanctified ones. See, he goes right on in. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. The ones started from down here. Now, I believe he's pointing Right here.
Yes.
Down here.
Right.
The ones that started at faith. All right? I got to turn this thing on. Hang on a minute. Hold on just a second. My tablet has been in Miami, and it's just all messed up. But anyway, let's get through this. I'll make it move back and forth. Can you read that? Perfecting of the saints for the working. See, it doesn't stop. For the working of the ministry of Jesus Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, which is all of us. All right? For the edifying, building it up, edifying. Because remember what we said about virtue. Virtue is something that people draw from. People draw that virtue from you. You draw virtue from somebody else, right? Okay? Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith, one Lord, one baptism, and the knowledge of the Son of God. And to the perfect man. He's not finished, man. He's just heaping this on here in the book of Ephesians because you know what? The people in the book of Ephesians, they can handle it. They were more mature. They could understand what Paul was talking about. All right? To the perfect man. Unto the assurance, oh my, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Perfect takes godliness. You have to add to your faith godliness. See, you start off down here with virtue. Then you go to knowledge, then temperance, patience. Now you're on godliness. Godliness, oh my, time's getting away, but we know what godliness meant. You've sung the song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him, all through life's journey from earth to glory. I only ask to be like him. So you add to your add godliness. Now next is going to be brotherly kindness. All right? Now look, you say that's an easy one. To me, it's one of the hard. It is the hardest one. If not, it'd be down there below. It's right up there before God seals you in and adopts you into the body. You got to be able to love your brother whether he hates your guts or not. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, he's talking about loving your neighbor the same as you love your own self. That's hard, people. That's hard. That's going to be real hard. Because Brother Branham says he does not spend a lot of time on godliness. That's about all he spent on godliness, and then he goes right into brotherly kindness. But now he spends a pretty good time on godliness. I mean, on brotherly kindness. Why? It's very well needed. And that's our problem. It's brotherly kindness. Or we wouldn't act sometimes the way we do. So, read brotherly kindness in your Statue of a Perfect Man. See what Brother Brown says about it. Go ahead.
You know, to me, loving your neighbor is easier than brotherly kindness because
yeah.
Brother and sister, you know that they're going to be close.
Yeah.
The closer you live with somebody, the more you get to know them or dislike certain things. But your neighbor.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And
I think he says, love them whether they love you or not.
Right.
See, that's the whole thing. You got to love them whether they love you or not. So what it is, it comes down to the meaning of, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. But it's what you think of others. It's not, Jesus, it didn't bother him for Caiaphas and them to call him illegitimate or whatever. It didn't bother him a bit. He didn't go off somewhere and pout like we do and say, oh, he called me serpent seed or he called me the devil. He called Caiaphas, everybody was calling Jesus the devil. They said he was the son of Beelzebub. Now, he didn't jump up on a stump and say, well, bless God, No. He knew who he was. And when we get to where we know who we are, a lot of these things are going to do just like that pyramid, just like that dream of Sister Shepherd. That water's just going to run right off. It run right by her feet, and that trash just run right out of that dream. Didn't stick on her, didn't stick on nothing. It just run right out.
I was just listening to conferences, and a lady at the end started speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
While he was still speaking, he totally ignored it. I mean, it was like...
Yes. Right. Sure. Nope. Well, the spirit is prophet subject to the prophet. So he knew that. He knew that, sure, and you know what? That could have been of God. But that lady, there's your power without character. Because she could speak in tongues and it be a true message from God. But if she had the virtues, it would have held her till after the service was over, and what was inside of her would have known. But she's, but Brother Brown says, they're just Pentecostal babies. What? Well, you're a baby at faith. And he allowed that to happen. He didn't. Now, he told one woman to sit down and shut up one time. But say, I believe he come to a place to where he said, that's enough of that. You're grieving the spirit. All right? And she got more in herself. Remember, she started fixing her hair up. And he said, I noticed she started fixing everything. You know, she was making a show out of it. Now, if you make a show out of it, that ain't of God. All right? But if it's of God, you have to hold your peace until the right time, the right order. And if she would have been on up in the statue of a perfect man, she would have sat there. But see, they were all Pentecostal babies. They didn't know nothing about virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. This whole world didn't know nothing about it until Brother Branham came. Sure, Peter and them had it. But Peter and them had a very small group of people to talk to. Brother Branham's speaking to the world. He's trying to get a world, not a world, but a world of believers perfected so we can get to a body change. Because you're not going to get to a body change till that headstone comes. There's no way. Nobody's ever took a body change except Jesus Christ, a permanent body change. Abraham's body was changed, but he died. Lazarus' body was changed, but he died. Everybody? But Jesus' body was changed, and he didn't die again. So he's reached immortality. So the only way for us to get it is for him to come back here, like Brother Dale's preaching now. Him, not in a physical form, but in a bride. And the bride's going to have to speak. The bride's one that's going to have to bring this thing to pass. Okay? All right, let's go up front. Lord bless you.